It's pointless to do room noise at your place.
Hey, don't blame it on my place.
Got
I'm
a
sorry.
Farting
I live in
motorcycle outside. We got a foster puppy
a
who's just ripping
motorcycle.
Apart her toys.
Oh my God, she already ripped that. I'm going to have to take it away from her.
You want
to
tell everybody how you're feeling?
I'm tired.
Tired?
Guys, I'm usually pretty grumpy.
Yeah.
I'm extra grumpy.
It's been a rough day.
I was like, you know what would be a great idea?
Tell him.
Taking care of a puppy.
I can probably hear his dog panties. Mounting me.
Oh my gosh, don't rip the mic. Oh my God. Do you know what's not a great idea?
I just got...
Taking care of a puppy. She's just showing you her butthole right now. She's 6 months.
Yeah, she's big.
She does not sleep through the night.
She's big.
We're getting up between 1 and 2 every morning. And then again at 6, so we can go out in addition to like the 8 other times a day we go out.
Yeah.
I'm real tired.
And that's just for you. How many times do you go out for the dog?
7. Oh, puppy. No, thank
you.
You
ruined my joke, dog. Well, we got
it's
a
okay.
fun.
Okay, we always, that's what we do. We ruin his jokes.
We got a fun episode if the dog doesn't ruin it. She's already licked our recorder once. It's called the recorder, right?
It is now.
Yeah. Puppy. It's like those old things you played in third grade.
I'm not that old.
That was the only instrument we had back in my day.
Recorder?
You didn't play recorder growing up? It looks like a flute, but...
What? Maybe. I don't know. Shit to me later.
Listeners,
beware.
That's fair. That's fair.
What are we doing? Playing games?
You want to give us a little tease for your story before we dive in?
Yeah. My story is great.
Oh, I'm intrigued.
This is a story I have always been a little fascinated with.
My story?
Some people say it's... might be related to one of my favorite scary movies.
Ooh.
But I don't, after reading it, I don't necessarily believe that. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. We'll talk about it after I'm done with my story.
Which movie?
But I'm
The
excited.
Little Mermaid?
The Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
Awkward pause. Are you tired too? I have an excuse. I've been taking care of a puppy. What have you been doing? Working half days.
Yeah.
Chilling.
Ooh.
And
I eat
over,
a lot, and that takes
you
it
eat
out of
a
me.
Lot of my food. Yeah.
Hey,
you came over, and was one of the first things you said to me, "What's for dinner?"
Well, who brought you lunch?
You did.
Yeah, I did.
Because then, who ate all? Okay, we could do this all day.
Let's get into it.
We're ready. Oh wait. We talked about. If we're continuing on or not, if this is our last season or not, we've gotten like so many fun responses from people reaching out, being so supportive.
I feel like with the energy we're bringing now, people are going to be like, just hang it up. You guys are done.
Like, we'll you sponsor are, you.
Obviously,
stop.
Yeah.
Just stop.
Just take a nap.
I was going to say, it's just been nice. And you were mean.
It's been amazingly nice.
It has
nice.
Been nice.
I can't
just
tell
to know
you.
People are listening.
We've had a stressful last month. We've both been super busy with stuff. And I feel like those comments and messages have really brightened my day on several occasions.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my voice cut out because I'm sitting at a very awkward
I know,
angle
we'll
right
sit
now.
Up. I know. And then we're like, well, maybe this is it for us because we have a lot on our plate right now. And then once I said that, I found...
Two new stories
that I really want to do.
And somebody messaged me with a story that I really want to do.
Right.
So
I was like, maybe I'll do it tomorrow because these stories are so good.
I think the thing is
so good.
We're probably going to keep doing them. They just won't be weekly.
Yeah, I think until it would be nice to see like a big boom in the downloads too. I think that would be encouraging to do it on a more...
People have been sharing, though.
On a
we've
more
been,
schedule, I was going to say.
We've been getting more downloads. This is a conversation I feel like we can have off the podcast.
Let's really just hash some stuff out between me and you
Let
right
me tell
now.
My story. I did so much research for this story.
You did not.
I did so... No, I honestly did.
Really?
Our second date, we went to... We've talked about this so many times.
I don't know what that was at the
eight
end.
Eight accents with four words.
That's impressive.
And scene.
Oh, no.
We went to the Museum of Death.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that got me the most was not the severed heads that we've talked about on the show, because mm-hmm. they're from one of the stories we did, and not you know, the mummified remains or how they do.
Yeah.
Anyway, what it was the pictures of the Black Dahlia crime scene.
Oh.
I saw that and I was like, oh, I was sick to my stomach.
Have you never seen that?
I'd never seen them before.
You live right down the street from her apartment.
I do. And so I did a deep dive into her story and it is brutal.
Oh, yeah.
You know it? That's a long story.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. My story is 322 pages. So.
Oh, goodness.
Kick back. Relax.
No offense, I'm going to fall asleep.
Okay. Wikipedia, Rolling Stone, and FBI.gov. So you know it's official. January 15th. Night. I don't know why I did it like
not
the dollop.
Dollop.
January 15th. 1904. Can I have a sip of that beer?
Why is it like already warm?
Well.
Because it's so hot in my apartment.
Your hands have been very warm today.
Okay.
Anyway.
That's weird.
Just when we held hands. January 15th, 1947. A mother was walking her daughter through a Los Angeles neighborhood when she came across a horrific sight. There, in the rays of the early morning sun, was a young woman sliced clean in half at the waist. Due to the corpse's pose, the mother initially thought the body was a mannequin, but it wasn't. It was a 22-year-old Hollywood hopeful named Elizabeth Short, better known as the Black Dahlia. And right there, I was like, cut in half?
I can't believe you don't know this.
I don't know. From the Chicago.
I know it now.
Elizabeth was born July 29th, 1924. She was a native of Boston, but spent most of her life in Medford, Massachusetts, and some in Florida before moving to California to be in the movies. She didn't move directly to L.A., stopping first in Vallejo to live with her father, whom she had not seen since she was 6 years old and had presumed died. They evidently fought a lot, so in 1943, she moved to Lompoc, California, where she worked at what is now Vandenberg Air Force Base. She took up with a military man who reportedly abused her, driving Elizabeth to move away from Lompoc within the year and settle in Santa Barbara, where she ended up being arrested for underage drinking.
Santa Barbara.
Cool. Good note.
I went to school there.
It was July 1946 when she moved to Los Angeles. She worked as a waitress and rented a room behind the Florentine Gardens nightclub on Hollywood Boulevard. The 6 months she spent in L.A. would be her last. And yeah, that's right down the street from me.
I know.
That's where you did your tour.
Mm-hmm.
On January 9th, 1947, Elizabeth Short returned to her home in Los Angeles after a brief trip to San Diego with Robert Red Manley. What a cool last name, by the way.
What was it?
Wow.
Manley?
Yeah.
That's not a cool
Pay
name.
Pay attention.
I was, but I was like, he couldn't have been talking about Manley. That's not a cool name.
A 25-year-old married salesman she had been dating.
What?
Yeah.
Bad piece of shit.
Yeah, not a great guy, but cool last name. He said he dropped her at the Biltmore Hotel in downtown L.A., where the woman was reportedly set to meet her sister, who was visiting from Boston. Some recall seeing her use the telephone in the lobby that day and then moving to the Crown Grill Cocktail Lounge approximately half a mile away. Flash forward to the morning of the 15th, when she was found half naked, severed at the waist, and extensively mutilated.
Half naked?
Yeah.
Huh.
Half naked, severed at the waist, and extensively mutilated. Though there wasn't a drop of blood at the scene, which is like the pilot episode of what TV show?
Hannibal.
No. You've never watched that show. Remember Dexter, the first episode?
Not,
the first season?
Oh my God, no.
Okay.
Such a good show, though.
prior to the first few seasons.
Well, yeah, but that was a long time ago.
Examiners discovered the body had been killed some 10 hours prior, washed, and moved to the site at Leimert Park. Her face had been slashed from the corners of her mouth to the ears, creating a macabre smile. There were cuts on her thighs and breasts, and chunks of flesh missing, including a tattoo of a rose that was taken from her leg and put inside her vagina.
Oh my God.
Yeah, did you know that part? I'm sure you've...
I'm sure at some point, but
it is, I mean, it gets worse. The lower half of her body was a foot away from the upper. Her intestines were tucked beneath her buttocks, and she was posed with her hands over her head and her legs spread. Detectives found a heel print on the ground nearby some tire tracks, as well as a cement sack containing watery blood. The FBI identified her via her fingerprints from her underage drinking arrest and, after speaking with her friends, realized she disappeared 6 days prior, kidnapped.
See, guys, underage drinking will help identify you. Do it.
Way to find the silver lining. Do it. Way to find the silver lining.
Well, if she hadn't have, they would have never known who she was.
Absolutely. One of the last people reported to have spoken with Elizabeth was nightclub and movie theater owner Mark Hansen, who was a, quote, wealthy and powerful Hollywood mover and shaker, end quote. So,
is
you
that
know.
Quote from you?
What every guy tells every girl at the bar here in Hollywood.
Hey, I'm a mover and a shaker.
I know I got a New York accent, but hey, don't worry about it. He apparently had connections with the underground fringe world of L.A., as every good mover and shaker does.
Right, right. It's what I expect of my movers and shakers.
He had reportedly been sexually fixated on Elizabeth Short, and police became suspicious after an address book with Hansen's name on it was mailed to the Los Angeles launch.
Wow.
Good night.
Good night.
And sweet dreams.
Sweet dreams. We're done.
He had reportedly been sexually fixated on Elizabeth Short, and police became suspicious after an address book with Hansen's name on it was mailed to the Los Angeles Examiner along with some of Elizabeth's belongings, including her birth certificate, social security card, and personal photographs.
Wait, what? What? That's so weird.
Yeah. It's a mystery.
Tell me why. Keep going.
I should note that it's not believed Elizabeth ever engaged in a romantic relationship with Hansen. And we'll come back to him. For now, we'll focus on the autopsy. Elizabeth Short was 5'5", weighed 115 pounds. Had
oh my God, so tiny.
Yeah, she was tiny. Had blue eyes, brown hair, and badly decayed teeth. There were indications... Damn!
I was just about to be like, so pretty, like this cute little petite. I love dark hair and blue eyes.
And no teeth?
But then you hit the weird... Sorry, I shouldn't say... That's mean. Don't be mean. Keep going.
There were indications she'd been bound by her ankles, wrists, and neck. There were also a number of lacerations up and down her body. She had been severed in half using a process called hepicorderectomy. The lower half of her body had been removed by transecting the lumbar spine, thus cutting the intestine. There was another cut from her belly button to her pubic region, and though her skull was not fractured, there was plenty to suggest she'd been beaten across the head, including signs of internal bleeding. I'm having a tough time with this reading. The cause of death was hemorrhaging from the lacerations to her face and shock from the blows she'd received. I know.
That's
terrifying.
So...
It was a tough one to write. Her anus was also dilated, indicating she could have been raped, though no semen was found. The Los Angeles Examiner, owned by William Randolph Hearst, immediately called Elizabeth's mother and told her her daughter had won a beauty contest to get information on her.
What a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Hearst?
Yeah. I mean, he's a piece of shit for
a
million reasons, but...
Oh, my God.
Isn't that fucking awful?
I didn't
know
he was an asshole, really?
He's a fucking asshole. Yeah.
Oh, let's burn his place down. Well, shouldn't have said that on the podcast. Guys, if it gets burned down, it wasn't us. But message us if you want to help.
It was only...
Dirty Dozen! Get your torches! Vigilantes.
I like it. We can make t-shirts.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
it's
yeah.
really good for committing crimes if you have shirts. You don't get confused when you're on the site.
You can't come with us, Becky. You're not wearing your shirt.
It was only after they had what they needed that they revealed her child was actually murdered. So they got the information, and then once they had it, they're like, no, she was actually murdered.
I would kill him, I feel like. If that was my child and someone did that to me, I would be out for blood.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They would go on with another of Hearst's papers to sensationalize the murder, calling the black suit she'd been wearing a tight skirt and sheer blouse.
Oh, God. So much has changed since then and fucking
now.
Different
times, different times. The media nicknamed her the Black Dahlia and described her as a, quote, adventuress who prowled Hollywood Boulevard, as well as calling the crime a sex fiend slaying. Again, she was in a full suit when she was killed. Back to Mark Hansen.
Makes me so mad.
Yep. The contents of the letter that made police suspect him had been cleaned with gasoline, including that it was likely sent by someone who didn't want their identity... or indicating that it was likely sent by someone who didn't want their identity revealed. Still, there were partial prints, though sadly they were compromised in transit to be tested. Convenient, right? Mover and a shaker.
Shaker and a mover.
Authorities moved to investigate Hansen, but he was cleared. Approximately 150 other men were also interrogated, including Red Manley.
Though your boy, the cheating piece of shit.
Though he was released after passing several
I mean, what is happening right now?
You know what it is.
Take a minute. Take a minute to yourself.
Okay.
Breathe. That's just exhaling out. No. Breathe in.
How do you breathe?
Fill your lungs.
I've always been so confused on this.
Breathe.
He was
strong start.
He was polygraphed several times.
Does it mean anything?
750 investigators. You don't believe polygraphs?
No. Do you?
No, I know that people can beat them, but I feel like if you're polygraphed multiple times and it's the same conclusion, maybe.
If you're a psychopath.
I guess. Yeah, that's fair. 750 investigators worked the case, and a $10,000 reward, more than $100,000 by today's standards, was offered for information leading to an arrest. On January 26, another letter arrived for the examiner. It read, quote, here it is. Turning in Wednesday, January 29th, 10 a.m. Had my fun at police. Black Dahlia Avenger. End quote. Police waited at the location stated in the letter, but no one showed. Then, around 1 p.m. that day, another note with pasted letters arrived stating the person had changed his mind because he wouldn't get a square deal and that the Dahlia killing was justified. The notes kept coming as police ran into dead end after dead end, always with cutout letters looking to strike a deal. In 1949, the Gangster Squad, yes, a real thing. Did you see that movie?
No.
I think it was Ryan Gosling. Was assigned to the case and came very close to arresting a man named Leslie Dillon after he sent a letter under the pseudonym Jack Sand that stated another man, this one named Jeff Connors, had killed Elizabeth after she threatened to release information about an affair he was having with that was, quote, not considered proper by the average person. Dillon, the man who sent the letter, was a bellhop and one-time mortician's assistant. He knew a lot of disturbing details about the young woman's murder, and police held him for a week until they found Jeff Connors, the man Dillon had named. After questioning, though, they released Connors, too. A new book by Pew Eatwell, a British writer, suggests that LAPD let Leslie Dillon go after learning of his ties to Mark Hansen, who happened to have links to allegedly corrupt police sergeant Finnis Brown. Eatwell believes Dillon murdered Elizabeth on behalf of Hansen, the Hollywood mover and shaker.
Stop saying that. Swear to God.
Shaker and mover at the Astor Motel where Dillon often stayed. The Astor Motel owners admitted to police on January 15th, 1947, they found one of their cabins covered in blood and fecal matter.
What?
And that witnesses had noted seeing someone who looked like Elizabeth as well as a man who resembled Hansen at the time.
Okay, there's a you're giving a lot of names here.
Okay, so Pew Eatwell is a British writer who did a lot of research.
The writer said that the corrupt cop killed Elizabeth for the dude she was having an affair with.
So Dylan had sent a letter. He was a bellhop at a motel and a mortician's assistant who apparently had a lot of information about the murder. All right, and he named Jeff Connors. But Jeff Connors, after being questioned, was let go. So what they're saying is that Dylan, the person who named Connors...
You have no idea what they're saying. You're looking so intently at your phone. No. You have no idea what's happening.
Dylan, the person who named Connors, who tried to get Connors arrested...
Yeah.
They think that he murdered Elizabeth on behalf of the mover and shaker, Mark Hansen, who was obsessed with her.
Where does the corrupt cop come in? Didn't you say one of them was a...
Yeah, so they think that Dylan was let go. They had brought him in for questioning.
Mm-hmm.
They think he was let go by the corrupt cop.
Gotcha. Ties to... Okay, I thought you were saying the corrupt cop killed Elizabeth for...
No.
The mover and the shaker.
No, he just... Yeah, it's good he that we got that
let
sorted
him go.
Out.
Exactly, okay. Exactly. There's a lot of goddamn names going on here.
So anyway, the Astor Motel said they found a room with blood and fecal matter.
I never heard that before.
Yeah.
Who just is like, oh, clean it up. If you... Find a room. One of your rooms is covered in blood.
So Buzz Williams,
another name,
is the son of Richard Williams, a member of the LAPD's gangster squad who investigated the Dahlia murder. He says he remembers his father discussing the case and hearing talk of Leslie Dillon, stating Elizabeth was murdered because she was involved with certain members of his gang, a group of people who would send a member out to get a job at a... Okay, so this is his gang. They would send a member out to get a job as a bellboy, which is what Dylan did, learn where the safes were, then quit and rob whatever hotels they had cased a few nights earlier.
Oh my God, let's do that.
So it's starting to come, you know, to fruition. Everything's starting to fall into place.
She was not here for that long, and she got into this underground seedy world so fast.
Listen. Eatwell, the author, suspects that Buzz is onto something, that Leslie Dillon... Mark Hansen, the mover and the shaker.
Oh, my God.
And Jeff Connors were somehow all involved in this thing together. Of course, several other suspects have been singled out, and it seems like every fan of the case has a favorite. Some still think it was Red Manley, the man that was having an affair with Elizabeth. Others believe it was Times publisher Norman Chandler, who biographer Donald Wolfe claims impregnated the young woman. And still others think it was George Hill Hodell Jr., who was a suspect in 1947, but never charged. He was reaccused by his son after his death, who stated that he killed Elizabeth Short and was responsible for several other murders, as well as the rape of his own daughter. So, it certainly could be anyone. And our odds are we'll never know who killed the Hollywood Dreamer. Or what, if anything, she may have been mixed up in. But I will leave you with this disturbing little thought.
Oh, great.
Leslie Dillon, the man Pew Eatwell and Buzz Williams believe committed the murder, ended up having a daughter some years after the investigation. And he named her Elizabeth.
Gross.
So after he was interrogated, after he knew that he was, you know...
Suspect.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. He's like, I'm going to name my daughter.
Can we all agree just to get rid of men? I'm really fucking fed up. Are you on board? Are you on board with that plan?
Well, as a man.
For like at least a solid year, can we just vote that men don't get to speak, don't get to be outside, don't get to interact with people. They just have to go away. Give us a year.
Can some of us stay?
We'll vote on it. We'll get a committee together.
Okay.
And we'll vote.
How would I
You're
fare?
You're on thin ice.
Ah, shit.
Do you know what I mean? Like, my God, I'm so
sick of it. No, the majority
of
serial killers and instigators and, you know, they're they're men.
And just how she's portrayed too, like she just prowls Hollywood Boulevard. Look at all of these men though that are coming after her, and it's her fault that 100%. She got cut in half.
Absolutely. We're trying to sensationalize the story, and they don't give a
Have you seen all the stuff on Hodel? Do you think it was him?
No, I haven't seen a bunch.
There's like a podcast on it now.
Oh, is there really?
And there was that show that came out that's about
the Hodel. I Am the Knight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You didn't see that?
That points the finger at him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, I didn't watch it. You didn't seem that enthused when you were into it. No. But Chris Pine is pretty to look at.
You say that about a lot of men.
Yeah. Well, I never know with you and Chris's. You have a thing for Chris's.
I do. Okay. Yeah. But I have them all ranked.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. There's a big chart on her wall. I didn't see that. I don't know. The Leslie Dillon thing sounds kind of convincing too, you know? The blood on the walls of the motel, and
I do think that it seems likely that it's more than one person. Like, how does one person do all of this and move a body and everything without being seen? Well, without
and drain her blood, so there's no blood at this. You know, clean her up.
I know.
And,
I mean,
and also
someone had to have seen something.
I mean, the thing
you can't.
It's made extra macabre and extra, I think, jarring. By just how far they went with the murder. It wasn't just this chick is fucked up, too. So we're gonna fucking kill her.
You hope that she died quickly, but even if she didn't, like, I can't imagine.
They said she bled out from lacerations.
Going through that. I know, but I'm saying before she was like, you know, they were like cutting your body and all those little things, and she was still 100%
alive. 100% torturing her.
God,
this
so
poor.
And then they couldn't stop after that. They go and pose her body like that. Oh my God, I hate people so much.
It is absolutely infuriating. And the fact that they were never found. Like, nobody was ever convicted of that murder.
I'm just gonna, you know what? I'm gonna say, let's go ahead and let's shoot all of the suspects in there. Just let's cover our bases.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's fair. I think, yeah.
I'm going to start closing some cases.
So real quick, spoiler alert for anyone listening that hasn't seen I Am the Knight. How do they end that one?
I didn't finish it, and I can't even. Whatever. I think the podcast is better because, like, his kids or, like, great-grandkids or, like, his family thinks that he did it.
Yeah, they do. Yes, absolutely.
And I don't know. I need to go back and listen. I wanted to listen to the podcast, but I didn't because I started watching I Am the Knight. But
well, he sounds like a piece of shit regardless.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Let's just cross the board.
But fucking Leslie Dillon, who sent a note into the Examiner and fucking tried to accuse Jeff Connors and
shoot
Mark Hansen, the mover and the shaker.
Mark gets a bullet too. I'm going to get it done. We don't need any more movers and shakers in this city.
What about shakers and movers?
They're good.
They're good.
They can stay.
Okay. Yeah, it's
really sad. And what is so sad is that, like, I do think this is one that'll never be solved. Just it's so old at this point, and any evidence that they had was probably not collected accurately.
No,
everything is contaminated. Yeah. Everything is gone. I mean,
it's a heartbreaking case. Made even more heartbreaking by the fact that there's just no conclusion. And I think that's what we've talked about a million times is when I listen to podcasts or watch true crime documentaries, it infuriates me that there's never any closure at the end of them.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like we as fans of stories from the dawn of time, we want the beginning, middle, and end. And with these, we don't get an end.
It's hard to... I'm not going to say enjoy because that's not the right word, but it's so much harder to, like, have fun with a story when you know that the person who's responsible wasn't brought to justice. Do you know what I mean? It makes me feel kind of guilty for, like, indulging in all of this, because if this was back then, I would have been reading those papers too. You know what I mean? And eating that shit up. And it's just sad. However, that being said, if you are like us and you want something with an ending, what's that one you made me watch that's so good and so satisfying?
Oh, The Jinx?
Yeah.
Yeah, The Jinx on HBO.
If you want something with a phenomenal ending,
yeah,
Watch it. Oh my God, it's so good.
It's really good. I'm glad you liked it.
Oh,
I feel like you
so
always
into
go
it.
Into the things I recommend very hesitantly.
Well.
Like, is this a superhero movie?
Yeah, I know. I mean,
you're like, how many Chris's are in this?
If there's an at least four, I'm not watching yeah. it. Well, that was a good one. Good
Thank
job.
You. Thank you.
Way to end strong. This Your reading skills weren't end. Great.
Yeah.
But it technically is the end of season two,
hey,
though.
My reading skills are spot on. I saw every word and I
so
knew what
just
it meant.
Can't speak?
It's just my verbalizing skills, my reading out loud.
Okay, that's
always
fair.
Always lacked.
Well, mine always lacked. Mine's going to be rough because I have not reread it since I wrote it.
Nice.
So it's been months. Do you want the beer?
Yeah, please. Okay. I'm very hungry for beer.
What are you making for dinner?
Pasta.
No.
Burritos?
No.
Pancakes. Can we just order pizza?
Can we just order pizza?
Let me know when it gets here.
Oh my God, you're the worst.
All right, what do you got?
All right. I am doing the Keddy murders. Great.
Okay. Sorry, were you? What?
Wikipedia. Here we go. What? Just listen.
It's not herewego.com. It's just Wikipedia.
It's just Wikipedia.
Got it.
And my own just not. No, Wikipedia.
And my own imagination.
And my own, yeah. Here we go, guys. Buckle up. It's the fall of 1980 in Connecticut.
Coming in hot.
Yeah. Glenna Sharp, along with her five children, that's a lot, left her home after separating from her husband, James, having decided to relocate to Northern California, where her brother, Don, was living at the time. She arrived in a rural Sierra Nevada community where she rented out Cabin 28 of the Keddy Resort.
Wait, is this a true story?
Yes.
Okay.
For the time being, she decided she would live there along with her 15-year-old son, John, 14-year-old daughter, Sheila, 12-year-old daughter, Tina, 10-year-old son, Rick, and her youngest, 5-year-old Greg. On April 11th of 1981, Glenna and her daughter, Sheila, left the resort around 1:30 in the afternoon to pick up her oldest son, John, and his friend, Dana, which is a guy.
Got it.
In nearby Quincy and brought them back to the cabin. Just 2 hours later, John and Dana hitchhiked back to Quincy, which was about 5 miles away.
What year was this?
1981.
Okay.
The two were seen in Quincy's downtown area, and a local woman said she had picked them up from in front of a tire store and given them a lift to one of their friends' houses. Later that day, the two were seen at a party in Quincy. That same day, Sheila had made plans to stay the night with a Seabolt family who lived in an adjacent cabin, which left Glenna, the mom, home with Rick and George, as well as the boys' friend, Justin. So there's just like a lot of goddamn kids everywhere.
Remember when you used to like kids before we had this puppy?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. I was like, we should have kids. And then I was like, or maybe never. I'm gonna. Oops, I got my tubes tied. Tina had been with the Seabolts as well, but was not planning on spending the night, so went home around 9:30 that evening. Sheila went back to her own cabin around 7 a.m. the next day, stumbling upon the bodies of her mother, John, and Dana, all of whom were in the living room.
Wait, I'm sorry. Can you read that sentence one more time?
Sheila, so one of the daughters,
yeah.
She had spent the night.
Right, at her friend's house.
She went back to the cabin at 7 a.m. the next day, where she found the body of her mother, her brother, and her brother's friend in the living room. All three had been bound with adhesive tape and wire. Sheila ran out of the cabin and back to the Seabolts. James Seabolt ran next door and looked through the bedroom windows as he was concerned the killer or killers may still be somewhere inside. He discovered the three young boys, Rick, Greg, and Justin, all unharmed and in a room. He pulled each of them out through the window and then entered the cabin's back door to see if anyone else was still alive inside, particularly Tina, as she had not yet been found. The murders of Glenna, John, and Dana were vicious. Two bloodied knives and one hammer were found at the scene. One of the knives had been bent in half due to extreme force.
Oh my gosh.
And blood spatter evidence suggested that these murders had all taken place in the living room.
Is that from like the knife going into a body and hitting bone or something like
maybe,
that?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know how like you bend skull, a knife. Yeah. Glenna was on her side near the couch, nude from the waist down. She had been gagged with her own underwear, which had been taped into her mouth. She had stab wounds to her chest and her throat had been slashed. An imprint that matched the butt of a BB gun was found on the side of her head as well. John, so her son, had his throat cut, and Dana, the friend, had suffered multiple head injuries before being manually strangled. All victims had blunt force trauma to their heads, which was determined to have been caused by the hammer that was found at the scene.
Being hit with a hammer is a sincere fear of mine.
Yeah, as it should be.
Also, real uplifting stories tonight that we're tackling.
It has to be said. It has to be said. You're not going to like how it ends.
Son of a bitch.
It was determined that each had died from their multiple stab wounds and the blunt force trauma they had suffered. Sheila and the Seabolt family were interviewed, and investigators soon found out that none of them had heard any commotion during the hours the crime was believed to have taken place. However, a couple who lived nearby said that they had been awoken by what sounded like muffled screaming around 1:30 in the morning. They weren't sure where it was coming from and went back to sleep.
The kids were next door.
One of the daughters was next door. Yeah, the Seabolts lived next door to them.
Got it.
Yeah. Sheila was then asked to go through the cabin and see if anything was missing. She said that her sister Tina's jacket, shoes, and a shoebox containing various tools were missing. While the cabin showed no signs of forced entry, detectives did find an unidentified fingerprint on a handrail on the stairs that led to the cabin's back door. The phone had been put off the hook, the drapes were closed, and the lights had been shut off. Several people were interviewed and cleared, and the county sheriff who presided over the case said that one of the family's neighbors, Martin Smart, had provided a number of clues that seemed to throw suspicion away from him, so they focused on him for some time. But
not very smart, yeah, Martin Smart.
But to no avail. The boys' friend Justin told detectives that he had dreamt details of the murders and then went under hypnosis, claiming that he heard unusual sounds coming from the living room while he was watching TV with Rick and Greg in the bedroom. He said he got up to investigate the sounds and saw Glenna with two men, one who had a mustache and long hair and one who was clean-shaven with short hair.
What?
Both men wore glasses.
This is a lot of detail to not remember until hypnosis.
A little boy, though, probably so scared.
How old? He said 10, right?
Can you imagine? That's young.
Yeah. I had somebody break into my house when I was 10 years old.
What?
I'll tell you later.
Okay. No, let's take a break. Tell me how. Oh, my God. The boy then said that John and Dana walked into the cabin and got into an argument with the men that resulted in a fight.
They were the 15-year-olds.
The older boys, yeah. During this time, Justin said Tina had walked through the door and was taken out of the cabin's back door by one of the men. Based on what Justin had described, composite sketches were made and released to the public, but no one seemed to recognize the men. Even serial killers Henry Lee Lucas and Otis Toole were looked into and later ruled out as suspects. Tina's disappearance was initially investigated by the FBI. Grid pattern searches were conducted and canines were brought in, but there was no trace of her. 3 years after the murders, in April of 1984, a bottle collector found a portion of a human skull about 100 miles from Keddie. The county sheriff's office then received an anonymous call that said the skull was that of Tina. A forensic pathologist was brought in, and it was soon released that Tina Sharp had finally been found.
What? Who the fuck called them anonymously and was
someone
like...
Someone who killed her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Of course.
Oh, I know that skull. Where'd you find that? About 100 miles out? Yeah, that's me.
The Keddie murders remain an unsolved 1981 quadruple homicide.
No call to, I'm sorry, I'm still holding on to this. No call to the authorities should ever be anonymous.
Yeah.
Like, you can say it's anonymous and not release the information, but you gotta fucking know where that's coming from.
They, yeah. Well, maybe now. I know you can still do like anonymous stuff, but I think they can like track stuff now. I don't know about that.
I feel like it'd be easier back then. I feel like now you have things to scramble your cell phone line. Back then it was all landlines.
Fair.
I'm going to go back in time.
She's going to take care of a lot of things.
Yeah.
In 2004, Cabin 28 was finally demolished. In a 2008 documentary that detailed the murders, Marilyn Smart, the wife of Martin, said that she suspected her husband and his friend were responsible for the killings.
Really?
She said that during the evening of the crimes, she had left Martin and his friend at a local bar around 11 p.m. to go home and go to sleep. She says she woke up around 2 that morning to find the two men doing something in the wood stove. Maybe burning something? I don't know what that means.
In
that's
the
probably
wood
burning
stove?
Something.
We're in a dance party.
I told you.
They're very tiny.
It's got to be burning something in the wood stove. Martin had been given and passed a polygraph test after the murders happened. He died in 2000 from cancer. In 2016, a hammer that Martin had claimed to have lost while he was being investigated was discovered in a local pond. The hammer was taken into evidence and examined, and the Sacramento Bee covered the findings of the hammer as well as something that had been overlooked. Martin had left Keddie and had gone to Nevada shortly after the bodies had been found.
Let me guess. That en route to where the skull was?
I don't know. Listen. From there, he mailed his wife a letter, going over their marriage woes and stating, quote, I've paid the price of your love, and now I bought it with 4 people's lives.
4 people?
4 people
oh,
died.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the daughter died, too.
Trina, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tina.
Tina.
The letter had never been admitted as evidence. A counselor of Martin's later came forward to say that Martin had admitted to killing Glenna and Tina, but said he did not kill the two boys.
Well, I bet he knows who fucking did.
Yeah. He said he had to kill Tina because she could identify him as she had witnessed him killing her mother. In April of 2018, DNA evidence was recovered from a piece of tape at the crime scene. It matched a known living suspect. Law enforcement believe that as many as 6 people were involved in the murders, whether that be what? Killing them directly or helping hide evidence. Police have said that, quote, there are people locally who know more than they've said, and I believe we've identified some of them, and we know who they are, and we know where they are. There is not an expiration date on homicides, end quote.
How do they identify that hammer as his hammer? If it had been in a pond, wouldn't all the evidence be washed off?
Yeah, and they found a hammer at the scene, but I think what they were saying is that it's like similar to one that
he had lost?
He had, yeah, said he had lost, though.
Okay, so they
right
don't know that it was his hammer, but it was the same type as his hammer.
Yeah, like just
got it,
like,
got it.
Maybe in like the same set of tools or something. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, the note and the confession probably helped that, condemn him. Yeah.
Some people think that Glenna and Martin were having an affair, and Martin and his friend killed her to save Martin's marriage to Marilyn. Wow. And that's why the young boys were never harmed, while others believe it was something to do with a police cover-up, as tons of evidence was never tested, looked into, or followed up.
Wait, the police cover-up? Like, the police were involved in the killing?
Or it was a local who they knew. It was like a buddy, so they helped them cover up the crime.
A mover and a shaker.
It was a mover. It was a shaker and a mover.
Motherfucker. Sorry, Mom.
Many people say that there are similarities between the Keddie murders and The Strangers, my favorite horror movie.
It is your favorite horror movie.
Claiming it's loosely based on the events, but that's never been confirmed by anyone involved on the film. And that's the story.
I have thoughts.
Tell us all of them.
Why wasn't I going to like it? The ending.
Because we don't know who did it.
We fucking know who did it.
Do we?
It was old boy.
That makes me so mad then, because he got to die of cancer. He should have been beaten to death.
Yeah, he was by cancer. kicked his ass. I'm sure he suffered.
Not as much as he should have.
No, you're absolutely right. Everybody who kills somebody should have to die the same way they killed the person.
That's what I always say. You would think twice before you did something horrific to someone.
Yeah, they're not going to black Dahlia somebody if they're like, oh, well, I'm going to have my tattoo stuffed up my fucking... I don't want to repeat it.
Same with the mom, too. Like,
yeah. No, absolutely. Oh, it makes me so very mad. But it had to have been him, right? The wife thinks he did it. Supposedly he confessed. He wrote a letter. Did they recover that letter?
I mean, they said the letter was never put recovered. Into evidence. Okay.
But they found it. It just wasn't put into
evidence. Yeah, that's why they're saying the police are involved for some weird reason.
Okay, so he has ties to the cops. The cops help
you
him.
You are so intent on like figuring this out right
Fuck
now.
Fuck this fucking asshole.
Yeah.
It makes me so very, very mad.
It makes me so sad, too, because I do feel like, let's not even say that it was her having an affair with him. He probably wanted to fuck her, and she told that piece of shit no. So he came in anyway. Like, why else would you shove her panties down her fucking throat?
And then the and older then boys come in to try and help. Home.
Exactly. And then he gets killed. Like, oh, well, my God.
And there have it. Another mystery solved by SOTW.
I mean... Are we shakers and movers?
We're definitely not movers and shakers.
Fuck that. Man, that was a real downer.
Yeah.
Real downer.
I gotta say, it's such a cowardly act to kill somebody. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And just, I don't know. To like beat someone to death with a hammer.
Well, I just told you the story today of the article that came out about that piece of fucking shit, and I really hope that somehow he listens to this podcast and knows who the fuck he is, that was getting free animals off of Craigslist and then, like, kittens and puppies, torturing them and then killing them. And I'm like, bro. It
makes me so sad. Wow. This, well... Maybe we should stop. We're really bringing people down.
People always charge an adoption fee.
Always charge an adoption fee.
And don't trust men.
Oh, yeah. No, I think we've all learned that by now.
I mean, I'm going to say things that are going to get me in trouble.
Always punch first, pepper spray first, kick in the balls first, apologize later.
Yeah, if ever. I don't even care. If they made you feel like you needed to stab them, then they fucking deserved it. But oh, yeah, absolutely. You know what? Pepper spray should be fucking free. It should be handed out to every person who asks for it.
Then it's going to be dudes trying to pepper spray their fucking victims and like, oh.
All right. Well,
this is what made me really sad.
Can we end on something happy, please?
We're saving a puppy's life.
She's
a real bitch.
No, she's like the sweetest dog.
She's so goddamn sweet. She's just a puppy.
She's
been very good. She's sleeping right now, and I'm talking mad shit about her, and she's being so good.
All right.
Well, that's it for season two, officially.
But unofficially,
we're back tomorrow.
No, there'll definitely be more to come. We're just going to wrangle up a few stories. And
can I tell you? I'm going to tell you. Guys, listen, everybody, I'm excited. I think my first story is going to be...
Tell me.
About...
Wow. Is it going to be this slow?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to word it...
Is this your season three voice?
I'm trying to word it correctly. Guys, cadence. I'm really mixing it up for season three. The biggest. I don't know how to say it now.
Well, that's
I'm
a good
nervous.
Thing you started.
All right, God.
No. You have to now.
One event where the most amount of people died from a shark attack.
Oh, we're going to the seas.
We're going into the ocean.
So the sharks are the killers in this scenario?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, well, can I give you a teaser for a story I'm going to tell?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it a teaser I already know?
No.
Because someone else gave
this.
It to you? Okay.
You don't. Picture this.
Picturing.
You know those music festivals that happen in the desert?
Yeah.
Okay. Picture this. A music festival in the desert. You with me?
We're great. Season three is going to be so good.
No. A music festival.
Oh my God.
Desert.
Okay. And they're attacked by sharks.
Is it the same story?
I'm into it. Oh my God.
Oh no. No. So hundreds, thousands. I don't know how many people go to those festivals.
Thousands
of people dancing, huge concert, people doing drugs, whatever. Mm-hmm. It starts raining. It starts storming. Okay. The water.
Wait, don't.
This is just the beginning.
I know. Don't say this.
I'm going to say it.
No. Because I told you the opening of my book and you're like, that's loose.
No.
Yeah.
That's not true.
It is true. Fine.
Fine. No, just forget it.
No.
No, it's over now. I don't think that's true. It you told is me the true. Opening. Of, hang on.
It's very similar. Yes.
Oh, shit.
I told you because I told you mine and you told me that the start of this story. And you're like, is it from this story? And I was like, what?
Damn. Also, I have a horrible memory. You know
well,
this.
Well, we know that.
Okay. Where am I? All right, this is it. Good night.
Sweet dreams.